news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, was sentenced to another 43 months on top of the 47 months he got last week for a total of 7.5 years behind bars on federal conspiracy and obstruction charges. Judge Amy Berman Jackson warned Manafort's attorneys about feeding Trump's narrative about no collusion, saying that prosecutors had not addressed the issue of collusion in this case, and she said that was still under investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller. Quote, the no collusion refrain that runs through the entire defense memorandum is unrelated to matters at hand. It's hard to understand why an attorney would write that. The no collusion mantra is simply a non sequitur. The judge then issued what could be taken as a warning to anyone still facing potential charges relating to the special counsel probe. Quote, court is one of those places where facts still matter, she said. But after the court proceedings ended, Manafort's attorney went right to the microphones to explicitly lie about exactly that. Good thing some loud people who were in the courtroom were there to challenge him.
What I'm about to say will not be a surprise. Judge Jackson conceded that there was absolutely no evidence of any Russian collusion in this case. So that makes two courts have ruled no evidence of any collusion with any Russian.
That's not what
Part
she said.
Part number two. Very sad.
That's not what she said.
Very sad.
That's not what she said.
For such a callous, harsh sentence that is totally unnecessary, much like this.
You guys are liars now. You're not lawyers. You're liars.
Then, just moments after the latest sentence was handed down, the Manhattan District Attorney indicted Manafort on 16 charges of fraud and conspiracy. Charges that, by the way, can't be overturned by presidential pardon. Roger Stone is back before that same federal judge, Amy Berman Jackson, on Thursday for a status hearing that was initially set to hash out pretrial issues and potentially set a trial date. But Stone's behavior in recent weeks, testing the limits of his gag order after he and his attorney plotted a book publicity tour, could also dominate the proceedings. The judge is clearly unhappy with him about the book's availability and has told him he's crossed a line that she already warned him should not be crossed. Stay tuned. At a closed-door hearing Wednesday, former Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker did not deny that Donald Trump called him to discuss the case against Michael Cohen. This, according to Congressman Gerald Nadler's comments about Whitaker's testimony before the House Judiciary Committee.
There are three main takeaways that we take away from today. One, unlike in the hearing room, Mr. Whitaker did not deny that the president called him to discuss Michael Cohen, the Michael Cohen case, and personnel decisions in the Southern District. Two, while he was acting attorney general, Mr. Whitaker was directly involved in conversations about whether to fire one or more U.S. attorneys. And three, while he was attorney general, acting attorney general, Mr. Whitaker was involved in conversations about the scope of the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney Berman's recusal, and whether the Southern District went too far in pursuing the campaign finance case in which the president was listed as individual number one. Those are the three takeaways from today.
And then there were 15. Beto O'Rourke made it official Thursday morning.
Amy and I are happy to share with you that I'm running to serve you as the next president of the United States of America. This is a defining moment of truth for this country and for every single one of us. The challenges that we face right now, the interconnected crises in our economy, our democracy, and our climate have never been greater. And they will either consume us or they will afford us the greatest opportunity to unleash the genius of the United States of America. In other words, this moment of peril produces perhaps the greatest moment of promise for this country and for everyone inside of it.
Congress heads out for its March recess Thursday afternoon, but not before the Senate votes on the resolution of disapproval over Trump's national emergency declaration. At least five Republican senators, Collins, Murkowski, Rand Paul, Tom Tillis, and Mike Lee, have said they'll join Democrats in approving the resolution intended to challenge Trump's executive authority. The White House has said Trump will, for the first time in his presidency, veto the bill. Meanwhile, the Senate on Wednesday quietly voted to rebuke Trump over his foreign policy. They voted 54 to 46 on a resolution introduced by Senator Bernie Sanders requiring Trump to withdraw U.S. troops from the Saudi-led war in Yemen within 30 days. The House still needs to pass the bill, but administration officials have already advised Trump to veto that resolution, too. The administration on Wednesday reversed its position on the Boeing 737 MAX jets and ordered the planes grounded. The FAA, citing new satellite data and evidence gathered from the scene of Sunday's crash in Ethiopia, which occurred 6 minutes after takeoff. The U.S. was the last country to do so. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.